To Paris, where climate talks are continuing for a second week. Over the weekend, Australia again agreed to support a goal of limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees. That's the level demanded by low-lying countries most at risk of climate change, But with the global greenhouse gas emissions projected to rise for the next decade or so, scientists and policymakers are quietly focused on the so-called negative emissions strategies. These technologies are all designed to draw CO2 out of the atmosphere. The techniques range from planting trees to sequestering carbon in Antarctic ice caps or even storing it in concrete. Many scientists now believe without the use of these negative emissions, the world will overshoot 2 degrees of warming, environment editor Greg Borschmann reports.
When scientists talk about dangerous climate change, they give you a range of probabilities. Unfortunately, to be really sure of avoiding 2 degrees of global warming, it may already be too late.
If we were to walk onto an aeroplane, we'd want to have probably a 99.99% confidence that that aeroplane wasn't going to crash. Unfortunately, we are already past the amount of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere that gives us a very high confidence that we're not going to exceed 2 degrees, that we aren't going to exceed the threshold for dangerous climate change.
That's atmospheric scientist Professor David Karoly from the University of Melbourne. With global greenhouse gas emissions projected to rise for at least the next decade or so, scientists and policymakers are quietly but increasingly focused on so-called negative emissions strategies. David Karoly again.
We have to go to negative emission reductions or negative emissions so that we suck out carbon dioxide, because it's only by sucking out carbon dioxide from the atmosphere that we'll be able to have high confidence in avoiding 2 degrees and even to go down and stabilize the climate at less than 2 degrees, continue to cool the climate system by continuing to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
Last year, the Climate Institute looked at the potential for negative emissions and concluded the strategies are now essential for a safe climate outcome. Erwin Jackson from the Climate Institute.
What we found is that if you exclude negative emission technologies like storing carbon in the land or capturing it from the atmosphere and storing it geologically through carbon capture and storage, then you substantially increase the risk that we won't get on a trajectory to 2 degrees.
In effect, it's plan B for cooling the climate, partly because we're not reducing the burning of fossil fuels fast enough. Some of the possibilities are surprising. For example, Professor Tim Flannery talks about carbon-negative concrete, which could be kick-started by an emissions trading scheme in the cement industry.
That could move very powerfully towards, you know, the rapid uptake of these very interesting technologies where you've got concrete that absorbs CO2 into their structure as they mature. And that could be really reducing emissions on the gigaton scale by 2050 if we introduce a carbon price or a cap and trade system into the concrete sector.
Professor Flannery, in Paris as chair of the Climate Council, says other possibilities may also emerge.
One, which may be associated with seaweed farming in future, is the storage of CO2 in marine sediments down, you know, 2 to 3 kilometres depth. The thing about those depths is the column of water above tends to pressurise the CO2 and keep it in liquid form, and it forms a solid eventually in those sediments. Second option might be using the Antarctic's ice cap for the capture of CO2. CO2 falls as snow over the Antarctic when conditions get very cold, even today. We could precipitate that snow by chilling the air in parts and then and burying it and storing it. But they're options for the future. They're options for many decades away. They're just desktop studies at the moment. But I think CCS may have a more interesting future than some of us imagine.
The CCS Tim Flannery is talking about is carbon capture and storage. It's been the great hope for the coal industry, but Tim Flannery says it's much more likely to be used in other technologies in the future.
Conventional carbon capture and storage, I think, has now been shown that it doesn't have a future in economic terms. The two plants that have been built were behind budget and behind time, and I don't see anyone lining up now to replicate them. There are other options for CCS that look really interesting.
Erwin Jackson from the Climate Institute agrees.
Obviously, reforesting land, a good place to start is also to stop chopping down the trees in the first place. but also potentially innovative technologies where you use bioenergy, for example, to draw carbon out of the atmosphere, then use that as an energy source, but capture the carbon from the burning of those materials and then storing it geologically like we do in, and have been doing for decades in the oil and gas industry, where we use capture and store carbon in underground reservoirs. So there's a portfolio of technologies that are going to be needed.
In Paris, Environment Minister Greg Hunt says Australia's work on sequestering carbon in rural landscapes is seen as world-leading. And as both major parties move towards net zero emissions in coming decades, there will be a lot more of it. The CSIRO estimates that more than a third of Australia's future emissions could be sequestered in restored bushlands and plantations, in a patchwork across the existing agricultural zone.
Yes, you could see lots of areas either return to bush, you know, as they were 100 years ago, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, or you could see plantations there. Plantations deliver a bit more carbon, so they make more money on that front, but they don't have the biodiversity benefits and they might not have sort of tourism spin-offs or cut flowers or whatever. So there are, again, choices along the way.
That's Steve Hatfield-Dodds from the CSIRO. Even assuming a 50% increase in real agricultural commodity prices out to 2050, farmers may be growing bush or trees rather than grass or grain if carbon is ever priced at $40 a tonne. Steve Hatfield-Dodds again.
If the world takes more decisive action on reducing emissions, then storing carbon in plants and soils is going to have economic value. And we find that once the price gets up towards sort of $40 US or $45 Australian, then you start to see substantial action across the landscape.
And by substantial action, you mean farmers making a conscious choice to grow trees, not wheat or sheep.
Yes, that's exactly right. In a supportive global context, the economics certainly will stack up for Australia.
But there are obvious downsides. Erwin Jackson from the Climate Institute again.
With some of these technologies, there's also other particular risks. Like you don't want to be in a situation in the land sector where you're storing large amounts of carbon or developing large amounts of bioenergy where you're actually impacting on natural environments and also impacting on farming communities.
But more than rural landscapes are at risk. Atmospheric scientist David Karoly is deeply concerned at plans for shooting aerosols into the stratosphere to cool the Earth. It's called geoengineering.
It changes rainfall patterns all around the world and leads to massive drought, particularly in the tropics. It has adverse health impacts if these particles are injected in the lower atmosphere. And if these particles are injected into the stratosphere, it causes enhanced stratospheric ozone depletion, which causes increases in UV radiation, which causes increases in skin cancer.
David Karoly says serious research is already underway, but there's limited national and international governance or even awareness of the potential adverse impacts.
The analogy that I like to describe about geoengineering is it's often been thought about as curing the symptoms of the problem rather than curing the problem itself. And unfortunately, this cure might actually have a worse impact. It might kill the patient as well as slowing down global warming. And I'm not sure that killing the patient is a good solution in terms of solving climate change.
Out on a limb, atmospheric scientist Professor David Karoly from the University of Melbourne, ending that report from our environment editor, Greg Borschman.